2 Peter chapter number 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, I tell you, I like that verse. Addition's one thing, you know. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, and 4 + 4 = 8, and 8 + 8 = 16, and 16 + 16 = 32, and 32 + 32 = 64, and 64 + 64 = 128, and well, you know the rest. You know how it goes. Amen. Well, addition's one thing, but 2 × 2 = 4, and 4 × 4 = 16, and 16 × 16, you know what that is. And it just keeps on and on and on. Addition will get you a lot further down the road than multiplication will get you further down the road than addition will. And the Bible says here that grace and peace be multiplied unto you, how? Through the knowledge of God. The more you know about God, the more you're going to know about God's grace and the peace that God gives, the peace that passeth all understanding. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, doesn't that? I mean, I'm saved, and that's us all. And listen, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. That's a reason to rejoice. But a lot of times the reason why in our life the peace is not there like it ought to be, and the joy of His grace is not there, is because the knowledge of God is not there. We're knowledgeable of everything else, but God wants us to know Him. He wants you to know Him and know His Word and learn His Word. And verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And so I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about those exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Now, the Bible's full of promises, and I'm not going to take time to go through all of them. But I want to just give you a few, just a little bit, and I hope you'll listen, because the day may come, church, the day may come, young people, the day may come that you find yourself not in church as often as you ought to be. The day may come in your life that you find yourself not walking with God the way you once did. And all I'm going to ask you to do is remember these promises, these ones that I show you tonight. These exceeding great and precious promises that I'm going to share with you from the Word of God, I ask you to remember them. All young people that are here, I ask you to remember these promises. All the church folk here, I ask you to remember these promises. And the Bible says, first of all, in Hebrews chapter number 13, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, if you want to find it quickly, you may do that. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. I'll give you just a second to find it. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boy, I tell you, you know, the Bible says the righteous flee, or the righteous are bold as the lion, but the The other crowd, they flee. They run away. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I tell you, one of the great missing things in Christianity is our boldness. And I think one of the reasons why we lack the boldness that we need is because somewhere along the line, so many of us as Christians have come up with this idea that our salvation depends on us. I mean, we've heard so much preaching and that elevates man, and so much humanism's crept into our churches, and so much of this stuff's come in, and somewhere along the line we know salvation's all of God, but somehow or another, this idea that in a little way, somehow or another, we've got to do something to keep it, or we've got to do something, and it's on us somehow. But I'm going to tell you, salvation, the great miracle of God, heaven, the security of the believer, it's all of God and not of us at all. It's all of God. You say, but preacher, I just don't feel very saved. Well, you're looking inward too much. You don't look inward for a feeling. You look upward for a feeling. Amen. The Bible says looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to tell you where our boldness comes from as Christians. Our boldness comes from the promises of the Word of God. You say, preacher, I just don't feel very saved. Well, listen, quit trying to feel saved. Just open the Word of God up, and you don't have to read it all, but you open it up to Hebrews chapter number 13, and you look at verse 5, and it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But listen, hey, that's not something that you have to feel. It's not something that you have to conjure up. It's the Word of God. Just believe what the Bible says. It's a promise of God. Say, preacher, I just don't know. Well, you can know. The Bible says so. The Bible says in Psalm 94, verse 14. You got to write that in your Bible beside Hebrews 13. Psalm 94, verse 14 says, for the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. The Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. There's a verse in the Bible that says, a brother, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friend, listen, you don't know who your friends are until troubles come. You don't know who your friends are until trials come. And you'll find out that when troubles come and trials come, that sometimes even your very best friends can't help you. The person that your husband or your wife, they can't help you. It seems like nobody understands, but I'm going to tell you, there's one that will always be able to help you. If you let Him. Hey, there's one that can always get you through if you'll allow Him, and that's God. He said, listen, He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What does that mean? I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He said, I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'm with you always. And He says, when it comes to forsaking you, He said, I'll never flee. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means this. It means that there's no problem. There's no giant. There's no struggle that you'll ever face as a person that what God's ever going to look at it and say, well, I'm out of here. You're on your own here. Nothing. There's no mountain too big. Amen. There's nothing. So what you do is one of two things. If God says, I'm going forward, and if God says, I'm not running back, listen, I wish for my sake it'd be a lot easier in life if I had a little bit more surrender in me. I don't look for a fight, but man, I tell you, it's hard. It's hard to run away from. It's hard to back down. Amen. It really is. It's hard to run and hide. And I'm glad I got a God that says, if you want to run and hide, you go ahead. But listen, He said, I won't leave you. He said, but I'm going to tell you, He said, I'm going forward. If you want to know my presence, you just keep moving forward. If you want to know my peace, you just keep moving forward. And God says, listen, if you want to go run and hide, I'll know where you are, but I'm moving forward. Boy, listen, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad we got a God. I think of a story just come to my mind. I grew up hearing this story. My dad and mom, when they first got married, they lived in Paterson, New Jersey. And there in Patterson, my dad was a dummy from Dunbar, West Virginia. And he got up there, and it was a fight a night. I mean, they just got in a fight, and he enjoyed down here. But down there, they fought by different rules. They all fought. And you didn't just fight one person. You fought everybody. And my dad was in the car with his uncles, and there were some fellas come out and started kicking the tires on his uncle's convertible. And so dad was going to impress his uncle, and he's going to show him. And he got out, there's two or three of them, and he had one of them rubber mallets, and he took that thing and he started slinging that, fighting with it. Before long, the whole crew was there. They was all there. And his uncles rolled the windows up on the convertibles and left him there. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They forsook him. They just said, "You're on your own, big boy." But I'm glad we got a God that doesn't leave us or forsake us. Amen. He's there. He ain't going to bail out on you. Amen. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. Remember that, boys. Remember that, church. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you ever find yourself and you say, "Preacher, it'll never happen to me." Well, you're the one I'm talking to. But if you ever find yourself out away from the Lord's house, if you ever find yourself discouraged or defeated, or if you ever find yourself and you look at your Bible and you realize you haven't read your Bible for months, I want you to not say, "Well, how am I ever going to get back? How am I ever going to get God to love me again?" I want you to just turn to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 and see that He never quit loving you. He never left you. You say, "Preacher, someone says, well, God won't leave you, but you can leave Him." No, He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's not you leaving Him. You can't leave Him. He's always right there. You might not realize His presence, but He's always there. He's always there. The other day, I was looking for my sunglasses. I looked everywhere for them until somebody told me they were on my forehead, and then I put them on and went on my dumb way. But I'm going to tell you, listen, hey, God's always there. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. His goodness and mercy. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Back before there were psychiatrists, there were still crazy people. Now they're labeled as what they are. Well, there was a lady that was what you call schizophrenic. Now, if you are, I love you, whatever else. But this lady wasn't. She was the real deal, paranoid. And she had gone from church to church asking preachers and going to psychiatrists, you know, and talked to people and tried to get help. And she said, "There's two men follow me everywhere. They follow me home. They sit out in my yard. They follow me to work. They follow me everywhere." And she said, "It's driving me crazy." And it was. And they didn't have far to drive her, just around the corner. She would have been there. Finally, she went to this little church, and the old preacher was there, gray-headed, had a big gray beard, just a man of God, and he preached one night and knew God, and that lady come forward, and he could see the look in her face, the dread on her face, and that lady, she said, "Preacher," she said, "you gotta help me." She said, "I'm at my wit's end." She said, "Nobody can help me." She said, "Everybody says I'm crazy. Everybody says I'm nuts." She said, "But I gotta have help." She said, "Everywhere I go," she said, "there's two men that follow me." She said, "Nobody ever sees them but me." She said, "But they're there all the time." She said, "I can't rest. I can't get any peace." And the Lord gave that old man of God the answer instantly. He looked at her and he said, "Dear," he said, "are you saved?" And she said, "I'm saved." He said, "Sister," he said, "you believe the Bible?" And she said, "I believe the Bible." And he said, "I want you to get your Bible." And she got her Bible and he opened it up. He said, "I want you to open it up to Psalm 23, verse number 6. He said, "I want you to get your pen out." And he said, "I want to show you who it is that's following you." And he said, I want you to know you don't have to worry anymore. He said, "You can go home and rejoice." He said, "I want you to see who's following you." And she opened it up and she looked at it and she began to read it and said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And brother, listen, he cured that schizophrenic paranoia. Amen. She got happy. A big smile came on her face. She'd come in church with her lip dragging. She left rejoicing, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, listen, hey, that's God. Amen. Hey, listen, brother, listen, I want you to know that the goodness of God and the mercy of God, hey, God's everywhere. I can't get away from Him. He's with me. No matter how low you go, no matter what the devil says, no matter what trouble comes in your life, rejoice that you got a God that'll never leave you, never forsake you. But listen, that prodigal son had gone into the far country. And when he decided that he had stayed long enough and he'd eaten of the hog swine and the hog slop long enough, he said, "I'll return and go to my father." And guess what? His daddy was watching for him to come back up the road. Amen. And he welcomed him home. Right. And God's the same way. He said, "I'll not leave you nor forsake me, nor forsake you." I'm glad for that tonight. Amen. I wonder how many folks have attended church and they're out of church. And this week we talked to a fellow and he said you could tell he was off on his church attendance. And he said, but when I used to go, he said the people, and I know this sometimes can be misconstrued, however, whatever, but he said the people are just so judgmental, just so harsh. And listen, hey, I think sometimes we create an idea that there's a wall. Once you get over the wall, you can't get back. But I'm glad we got a God that not only does He put a wall to the top of the hill to keep us from going down, but when we tumble over the wall, He's got an ambulance down there to pick us up and get us back. Amen? Amen. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. Amen. What a God. Amen. Right. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Rejoice in that tonight. Psalm 103, verse number 8, if you want to turn there with me, I want to show you another wonderful passage of Scripture. Psalm 103, verse number 8. If my face ever gets red while I'm preaching, tell me. I don't want to die up here, but now I'm just teasing. I'd just soon die right here. Don't worry about me. My face has been red all my life. I feel like I'm going to blow up right now. Psalm 103, verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Boy, that sounds familiar. That's why I don't worry about them folks that say, you just sing the same songs all the time and just preach it. You ain't read your Bible. It's the same stuff over and over and over. I mean, it's just the same stuff from cover to cover. God's good and God's gracious and God's merciful. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, if you want to run from Him and if you want to not accept Him as your Savior and reject Him and be like this godless crowd, someday you're going to find a God full of fury and wrath and anger and He's going to cast you into hell. But I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I got a God that loves me and cares for me. And listen, I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about the God of the Christian tonight. I'm talking about the God of the saved. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. There's still time. Hey, there's time to be saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today's the appointed time. You might be a good person. You might be a pretty moral person. I mean, you're in church tonight. Amen. You could have stayed home and done something else, but you're here. But that doesn't mean you're saved. But I got good news for you. Jesus Christ will save you if you'll ask Him. I'll show you that in a minute. But Psalm 103, verse number 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You say, preacher, I've already used up all of His mercy. No, you haven't. His mercies are new every day. Amen. From morning into morning, His mercies are new. And you say, preacher, why do I sin so much? Well, I guess so God can show you how merciful He is. But let someone else be the example for a while. Amen. You go ahead and live right. It's a whole lot more fun to live right. Amen. Do right. And God wants you to have the victory. Verse number 9 says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. There's nothing that I like any less than somebody that's mad all the time. Now, God's angry with the wicked all the time. Every day, the Bible says. But listen, I'm not talking about that right now. But there are some people that are angry all the time. They just won't let anything go. I mean, they just want to beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you. I remember growing up, there was a guy that seemed like he was mad all the time. You know why? Because he was. I found out when I got older, he was mad all the time. It just seemed like he was angry all the time. I didn't like to be around him. Imagine why. I mean, everybody can be happy at least a little while. But the Bible says that He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Now, any parent here knows that there's times you have to correct your children. And if someone said not to do it when you're mad, but that's when I do it best. Amen. And if I waited till I was glad, I wouldn't do it. And they would get by with it. But I'm not talking about, I don't get mad and kill them. I get past that point. Amen. And then just get down to the other level. There's degrees of mad I'm talking about, But there's times, man, now I'm ready to bite my lip and throw them out the window or something or other. I mean, but listen, but understand this, I don't stay that way. And I want you to understand that after we deal with our issues and after we discipline is served on the golden tray afterwards, you'll watch and children will come to you and hug you. You don't push them away. You want your kids to love you, discipline them, by the way. Because once they know you care enough to discipline them, they'll learn what it means to love you, because they'll learn that your love is for them. They'll love you and care for you. I'm glad I'd ride with my dad, you know, and if I crossed the line, Dad would let me know. And he'd let me know. I knew I'd crossed the line. And I didn't like to cross the line. But I'd be riding somewhere with Dad, and he'd call me. He'd say, "You my buddy?" I'd say, "I'm your buddy." I'd say, "You my buddy?" And he'd say, "I'm your buddy." The Bible says that the roaring of a lion, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew on the tender grass. You see, there's a contrast. God's not a Christian. Listen, there's things. Hey, God might be upset, and I there are things as Christians we do that bothers God, that aggravates God as Christians. We ought not to do. The Bible says He'll chasten us. But I'm glad for these verses right here. It says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." He says, "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever." Verse 11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Now I tell you, there's nothing that gripes me as much as to see somebody mean and abusive to a child. There's a difference between love and care, but this is somebody to be a bully and just shove them off. And I've dealt with kids and bus kids all my life, and I've seen just sometimes how the kids no tenderness, no care, no love. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad I got a God that knows how to love me. Amen. He knows how to correct me, but He knows how to love me also. And He knows how to care for me. And listening, and God, when God deals with me when I'm wrong, but He doesn't stay angry. I mean, He can just like that. All right, dealt with it. Now let's go on. I'm glad for that. Amen. I mean, He deals with it. Hey, you know, if that's the way God wanted to be, He could just take His big old thumb and just thumb every one of us out. But I'm glad He's a God of grace and mercy. Amen. I'm glad that God just barely nudges you on the head. And you know, and by the way, you don't have to ask God if you did wrong or not. There's people say, "Lord," and we take that verse out of context. "Search me, O Lord, know if there's being evil." You don't have to ask God. God's going to let you know. Amen. I mean, He's going to let you know when you're wrong. He's going to deal with your sin. But thank God, He'll never give you what you deserve as a Christian. Never. Never. He said, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." Here's what I want you to see. The promise of His fatherly mercy. I tell you, listen, He won't stay angry. He won't stay angry. Did you hear that? He won't stay angry. He ain't going to stay angry. There may be anger arising. God may deal with something in your life. But He won't stay angry. Amen. Once He deals with it, and you say, "God, I know I was wrong." And you say, "God, I forgive me of that." And brother, listen, He's there with that gentle loving kindness to draw you back to Him like a Heavenly Father and say, "It's over now. It's okay. I dealt with that." Say, "But God, don't you remember what all I did?" And God says, truth of the matter is, no, I don't remember it. But God, and you try to remind God of why He ought to be mad at you, and you get upset because He ain't still mad at you, but He's forgotten about it. It's over now. He's ready to move on. You see, preacher, I can't serve the God. I can't do anything because of what I did. But friend, I got good news for you. You're creating that giant. God's already forgiven you. You just go on for God. Amen. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't bother preaching. Because listen, every thought that comes through your mind, you say, "God, I'm sorry about that." God knows. He knows we're but dust. You think you surprise God? God knows you. That's what He said. I mean, does it surprise you when your kids do something they shouldn't do? You know they're going to do it. You're used to it by now. Amen. And listen, and God knows, and yes, God wants me to grow, and yes, He wants me to mature, and yes, He wants me to get it. You ever just say, oh, wish you just get the program? And yes, He wants me to get with the program, and He wants me to do right. But He knows that no matter how good I get, quote unquote, I'm still going to goof up. And He's still good, and He's still God, and He's going to deal with it. But then He's going to draw me with loving kindness and say, come here, son, it's over now. Everything's all right. I'm still daddy. I still love you. Let's get on down the road. He ain't going to drive down the road with a big, mean, sour look on his face every time I look at him, trying to intimidate me. Boy, if God wanted to intimidate us, He could, couldn't He? As an atheist, one time, was up on a, he was up on a stump, and he was carrying on, hollering that there's no God, there's no God, and he just nothing. There's no God. He said, if there's a God, he said, I defy anybody here to prove to me there's a God. And as an old boy come through there, was on his way to the ball game, and he heard that atheist up there hollering like that, and he went over and he said, can I say a word? He said, I'm a football player. He said, I weigh 295 pounds. He said, I'm on my way to practice for my ball team. He said, I play offensive line. He said, I lift weights every day, work out. He said, I'm in tip-top shape. He said, on the way here, he said, there was a little boy in the alley that jumped out and asked me for some money. And he said, the truth of the matter is, he didn't have anything to give him. He said, I felt bad that I couldn't do anything for him at the time. He said, that little fella began to curse at me and swear at me and call me names. And he said, you know, I looked at him and I said, son, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I went on. He said, what would it have proven if I'd have knocked him out or hit that little boy? He said, I wouldn't have proven anything. He said, I could have squished him. He said, but I just went on. He said, I pitied him. He said, I just felt sorry for him. And he said, I listen to you. He said, you're down here. He said, you're hollering at God. He said, you're cursing God. He said, you're daring God, telling God to prove that He's God. Buddy, you may just go on your way, because God wouldn't prove anything by squashing you. He's proven that He's God by letting you run your big mouth. And he said, I got to go. And I'm going to tell you, don't be all these atheists today. You say, why don't God do anything? Because God's not intimidated by some pipsqueak who stands up and teaches some evolutionary theory. Someday God's going to deal with that blasphemer. He's going to deal with that crowd. Brother, listen. Hey, Muhammad has Obama to stand up for him. But brother, listen. Hey, and he can stand up and say, and he can send Hillary, and they can stand up and say, y'all leave Muhammad alone. Y'all leave the prophet alone. You leave him alone. But they can say anything they want to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Stan gave me an article today, and I'm not going to read it to you. I'll tell you about it. I almost would just go ahead and tell it to you. But they're in New York City. They're bringing in the art or craft or some type of thing. They're bringing in a show in there. A bottle that's got some lights in it, and it's got a crucifix of Jesus in it on the cross. And this is art, and it's soaking in a solution. Guess what it's soaking in? Urine. Some freak urinated in a bottle, put the cross, the crucifix of Jesus Christ in it, and listen, that kind of stuff, hey, it's allowed, it's protected, the United States of America, they can do that about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you let somebody put out an internet YouTube video about Muhammad, and the United States Secretary of State and the FBI goes searches him out. Friend, why in the world are we protecting Muhammad, and we allow people to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, listen, friend. Listen to me what I'm saying to you. You say, preacher, you're mad. I am mad when I get to thinking about stuff like that. It angers me. Why? Because someday that crowd is going to deal with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. And somebody needs to say to them, you better get right today, because God's still good and God's merciful and grace. Hey, that cross that you soaked in that urine, that cross still saves sinners. And if you'll come to that Savior Jesus Christ, He's not on that cross. And listen, friend, the blood that He shed on that cross will save you from your wicked sin. But if you continue to live that way and reject Christ and do that way, friend, you're going to die and burn in hell someday. But there's time, there's day, there's salvation. If you'll come to Jesus, you can be saved. Muhammad is dead and he's not getting up. He's buried and dead and he's not getting up. He needs somebody to defend him, but my God doesn't have to be defended. He's not intimidated, but I'm going to go ahead and say a word for him anyway. Amen. Because I love him. He died for me. I think about the old preacher that was getting his hair cut one time. And he said, as he's sitting there, he said he was getting his hair cut, and there's a fellow just kept cussing God, GD this, and carrying on awful. And he said, I couldn't take anymore. He said, I looked, and there's a little girl sitting over there, and somebody brought their granddaughter. And he said, it just bothered me. He said, I couldn't take it anymore. He said, I stood up. He said, the only time in my life I ever preached with a robe on. He said, I stood up in the barbershop chair. And he said, you've been talking about God and cursing Him. He said, I'm going to talk about Him for a little bit. And for 15 minutes he preached on the goodness of God and the mercy of God, gave an invitation and closed the service in the barbershop. Amen. Friend, listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're saying. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the God of heaven is gracious and merciful. You think of all the filth that goes on. When I was growing up, there was a movie called The Last Temptation of Jesus Christ. They try to imply that Christ, Jesus, while He was on earth, had an adulterous relationship with Mary Magdalene and that kind of stuff. That actor that played the part of Jesus is still alive. Brother, listen, if you don't believe God's merciful, then God, you don't know God very well. He lets that crowd go on and on and on. And listen, hey, unless they cross that line, they're reprobate. There's still a chance for them to be saved. But listen, God can wipe them out just like that. He can crush every one of them just like that. But God's grace and mercy is so great that He gives even them an opportunity to be saved. Friend, listen, God is gracious and merciful. Friend, listen, it's since 1972 or whatever, America's been murdering babies by the millions a year, yet God still calls people to preach in America. It's a wonder to me and an amazement to me that America still has any freedom, that we still have any liberty in our country. We've turned our back on God. We've kicked God out of the schools. We said, you're not going to talk about God in the schools. No Bible in the school. Yet God is still gracious and still merciful to America. Hey, listen, God still, and I know we don't deserve it, friend. What we deserve is to have our country destroyed, but God is still good, and God is still gracious. The only thing, listen, the only two times there in Pearl Harbor, but then in New York, there, whatever, all that stuff happened, friend, listen, God brought a little judgment on our country, and there's an AIDS virus and all that stuff, friend, listen, but the truth of the matter is, He could well just wipe every one of us out, but God's gracious and God's merciful.
Right.
Friend, that's an attribute. That's attributed to the mercy and the graciousness of God. Friend, listen. The problem, hey, God doesn't give us what we deserve. Rejoice in that tonight. Rejoice. He won't forget what we were before we became what we think we are. You see, God knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. In America today, we become intelligent. In America today, we don't need God anymore. We're smarter than God. Hey, but God remembers this nation. Listen, I still believe that God's merciful because He remembers our founding fathers that loved the Word of God. He remembers those pilgrims that came over here and they came to this country in search of freedom so that they could raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And He remembers the humble beginnings of our nation. And He remembers that. And that's the reason why God's still merciful. But there's a crowd now that says, God, you forget all that. You have no place in our history. And someday, God will deal with that crowd. But I'm glad tonight to say that there's a God in heaven full of grace and mercy.
Right.
And we don't deserve it. But God's gracious and God's merciful. You're here tonight, you might have already got mad at me. You say, preacher, you said something about so-and-so and you have no place. Well, for one, God put me here. And listen, I just do what God tells me to say. Amen. I say what I'm going to say.
Amen.
Whether it's popular or not popular.
Right.
But listen, hey, the Bible says, unless we warn the wicked, how are they going to know?
Right.
If every preacher in America, Brother Mullins, if every preacher decides from here on out to be politically correct and never offend anybody or say anything else anymore, then friend, how in the world are they going to know that they're wrong? That's the reason why we have the wickedness in our land today. That's the reason why we have our country endorsing the sodomite marriages, which is wrong and against God. And it'll bring the judgment of God upon our country. That's the reason why we have the murder of babies. That's the reason why we have the wickedness in our land today. It's because the preacher said, we're just going to love everybody and we're not going to preach the truth anymore. Friend, that's not love. That's a lie. God is love and God is gracious and God will save. But we need to preach repentance. John the Baptist stood and he looked at the king who had taken his brother's wife to be his wife and he said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And the king cut his head off, but he got the message out anyway. And today, preachers are afraid to lose their 301-756 whatever. They've already lost it. They've already lost their charter with God. Because they're more afraid of government. The fear of man bringeth a snare.
Right.
You say, preacher, what am I talking about? Well, I was talking about the promises of God. The promise of His fatherly mercy. I'm glad He doesn't give us what we deserve.
Right.
You ought to listen. You ought to, hey, as an American, you live in this country, you ought to rejoice and thank God that you still had freedom today, because we sure don't deserve it. It's all because of God's amazing grace. Hey, we're living on borrowed mercy tonight. Hey, we're living tonight in a free country because the generation before mine and 100 years ago, there were men that stood up and wept and prayed and begged God to save America. There was a man named Percy Ray. I love to hear the old man preach. And Percy Ray began in the 1970s to lead men, and he went to every capital city in America. And for 1 week, they would kneel and pray throughout the day on the Capitol steps of the United States. 50 states, those men would go and pray for God to send revival in America. You say, did it come? No, the moral majority came and they quit praying. That's what happened. Amen. Listen, they should have just kept on praying and not put their faith in the moral majority and conservatism and Republicans. They should have just kept on praying, but they stopped praying. But because of their prayers, God still lives some freedom to us today. But today we got a bunch that run around and they don't want to preach anything anymore. And I think if somebody come and think I'm nuts because I'm preaching it, but friend, I am nuts. Amen. If you're wondering, you got it right. But I tell you what, I ain't preached anything this Bible don't teach. Amen. And I ain't said anything that ain't in this Bible. So don't be offended by what I've said or by what I preach. Everything I've preached is in this Bible. I've not made up anything. There was a god, a false god named Dagon. And they put Dagon in the temple of the Lord. And one night Dagon, they put him in there by the Ark of the Covenant, and Dagon fell over. And they had to defend Dagon. And that's what's going on in our country today. Everybody's all worried. They're defending Muhammad. Well, they better defend him, because that's the only line of defense he's got, because he's on his way to a burning hell.
Amen.
That prophet Muhammad was a Christ rejecter. And the Quran is a Christ rejecting.
Right.
Believes, hey, listen, hey, they spit on the idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They say that's blasphemy. That crowd's wrong out of hell. Listen, I know you hear that in college, and I know you hear that in the world, but you don't hear it in the Word of God. Amen.
No.
God said, let there not be any other God before me. He said, I'm the true and living God. I'm the only God. He promises this. He won't forget what we were before we became what we think we are. Some of us get so proud. We get so haughty. We say, boy, I tell you what, ain't nobody going to tell me anything. Nobody's going to preach to me. Nobody's going to tell me. Boy, you ought to be glad that God doesn't listen to all that talk. He remembers that you're but dust. And He knows what you really are. And He sees through all that veneer. He sees through all that education. He's not impressed. He knows that we're sinners. And someone says, they go right there, how to lead so-and-so to Christ. That's all. Y'all got to come the same way. It's through the blood of Jesus. You got to see yourself the way God sees you, naked and undone, without God or His Son, on your way to hell. When you see yourself that way and come to Jesus, He'll save you. Listen, He promises to forget. Revelation 21:4 says, former things are passed away. Behold, former things are passed away. You know what that means? That means when you get to heaven, former things are passed away. They're gone. I want to tell you something real quick. There's a man named David, who I believe was a Christian, who went to heaven. He had a man that served with him in his army named Uriah, who was one of the captains of his host. I believe that Uriah was a believer also. Well, let me tell you how Uriah died. Uriah died as a result of David's attempt to cover up the fact that David had taken Uriah's wife and conceived a child with her, and Uriah wouldn't go along with David's plan to help cover it up, so David just went ahead and had Uriah murdered. And when them fellows are in heaven and they see each other on the street of gold, they shake hands and say, isn't it good to be in heaven? Because former things are passed away. And all those grudges that you're holding and all that stuff that's destroying you right now, I got good news. When you get to heaven, you won't think about it anymore. So why are you letting it ruin you now? Why just let it go now? And when you get to heaven, the thing that occupies your mind and occupies your thoughts and destroying your life, it's going to be gone. So just go ahead and have a little heaven now and let go of it now. Brother, but listen, bitterness will destroy a person. Just let go of it. You can't change it. Uriah didn't get to heaven. So, boy, I can't wait till I see David. Boy, I'm going to let him have it. There come David. Now, what was it? Why was I mad at him? None of that. No remembrance. He didn't even... That was David, the man he served with, the man he loved, his friend, fellow soldier. You imagine how many reunions are going to be like that in heaven. You always talk about seeing the person you like. And I never hear any Chris say, I can't wait to see the old so-and-so. He owed me money when he died. When you get to heaven, he ain't going to owe you no money. Well, I can't wait to see old... Boy, I tell you, he's a good one. Hey, some of the Christians I know that wasn't... You know, when I see them, I'll be glad I don't remember them. Amen. And they'll be glad they don't remember me. No, all former things are passed away. Psalm 84:11. I want to hurry and give you a couple more. Listen to me, guys. Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11 says this: For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold them that walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold them that walk uprightly. I'm going to tell you something. We don't fool God. And you know what? There's no use trying to live a certain way to impress men, but you live to please God. You know, God knows how you live your life. And it wouldn't do me any good to try to figure out which one you ain't doing right, because there's some area where we all need to do better. Every one of us. But I got good news. I got a motive for you. No good thing will God withhold them that walk uprightly. So, preacher, I'm having a hard time. God just don't care or love me anymore. He just don't do right. He just don't answer me. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and you receive not because you ask amiss. There's something wrong. God's still God. Hey, listen, God's still good. We just need to do right. Walk uprightly. Do right. Do right. The Bible says no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 34, verse number 7. I want to read to you real quickly. I want to hurry. Psalm 34, 7. Listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. I like that. He promises to protect in trouble. Y'all, anybody ever get scared? You ever get afraid? You don't ever get scared, do you? I didn't think so. I tell you what, I don't ever get scared as long as my wife's home to protect me. Well, I tell you, it's scary if you're by yourself, you know. The other day, Harold's back here. The other day, Harold went out in the morning and I was up and I had my window open. I heard something. I heard a broom flying. I knew he wasn't sweeping. There's a raccoon on his porch. He's out there fighting a raccoon. Went right across the front of his feet, buddy. And he said, the hair standing up on the back of my neck. He was scared. I would be scared. Raccoons scare me to death. I don't like them, man. They're mean looking. I will tell you, though, listen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Hey, don't get mad at me tonight because I might say something about some hero of yours. Hey, you could probably say something, make me mad. Don't get mad about something like that. You listen, you know what the Bible says. Hey, I'm not attacking anybody individually. I'm attacking the anti-God attitude of this country and of people. Some of you are going to get shaken out of your coolness someday. You're cool today, but I'm going to tell you, at the rate our country's headed, it ain't going to be so good in the future. Hey, there's problems coming fast. And right now, you can kind of be cool because mom and dad, everything's okay. But I'm going to tell you, hey, those times can change real fast. Yep. But I want you to remember something. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about you. Yep. God will take God. Hey, listen, God's God. And He's there. But I'm going to tell you what. In the Old Testament, there's a story about a man, and he was scared. Just him and his buddy there. There was a great army coming after him, Syrian army. He was scared, and he prayed. And God said, did you see who's out there? And he said, yeah, God. He said, the enemy's out there. He said, there's so many of them. They're surrounded us on all sides. He said, no, you didn't. He said, you ain't looking right. He said, go look again. He went out there and looked, and he saw a mighty host, the angels of God, camped round about him. And I don't care what you see. You can read the newspaper frontwards, backwards, upside down. I'm going to tell you, it's going to scare you. If it don't scare you, your scarer's broke. And you can watch the news, and that'll scare the fire out of you. And then you look in the mirror, and that'll really scare you from what I'm seeing up here. But I'm going to tell you what, you just look a little deeper, and you'll see that the angels of God encamp round about you.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good news, Christian. Especially some of y'all have seen you drive. You better be glad God's with you. Amen. He's with you. No pointing fingers now. I'm going to tell you this. Psalm 34:17 says this. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What does that mean? It means the same as what we see in the book of Colossians. I'm going to read that to you also real quick. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, I should say. The Bible says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had into you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I got good news for you. God promises to deliver us from the wrath to come. Listen to me very carefully. There's coming a day on this earth called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called a time when the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed. When the Holy Spirit is taken out, and the Spirit that indwells the believer, and the believers are taken to heaven, called the rapture. And there'll come a time on this earth, there'll be 3.5 years of peace, and then there's going to be misery. Unlike any other time, men will be begging to die, and they won't be able to die. The only way you'll be able to buy or sell is take a mark in your forehead, the mark of the beast. Listen, there'll be utter lawlessness, godlessness. There'll be no worship, there'll be no God. You only worship the beast and the Antichrist. There'll be no preachers, there'll be no church, there'll be no Christianity. The lawless will have their way. Someone wants to murder you, they'll murder you. They want to rape you, they'll rape you. There's no law anymore. They want no God, they're going to have no God someday. There'll be 3.5 years of that. While you're here, if you're lost, and you won't be mad at me anymore if you're here. I mean, you'll be over that. But while you're here, according to the Bible, I'll be in heaven. Why? Because I'm God's child. Say what you want to say. The Bible says that He would deliver us from the wrath to come. I got a lot more verses to tell on that to show you. But I belong to Him. Listen, if I'm out here in the middle of the road and there's a truck coming, and God sees me standing in the road, He ain't going to wait till the truck's halfway over me and pull me out in the middle. God's going to pull me. If He's going to save me, He's going to save me before the truck hits me. And there's a truck coming on this old world, and it's called the truck is the tribulation period. When the Antichrist is going to come. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to pull the Christian. We're going to be raptured out before. And I rejoice in that. If I didn't believe it, I tell you what, I'd be sharpening my gun or whatever, sharpening my knife, practicing my shooting. But I'm going to tell you, though, listen, it's going to be a terrible time. If you're not 100% sure you're saved, if Jesus Christ were to come right now and the trumpet sound, you'll be left behind. And in spite of the good news and stuff and how they try to make it sound, if you've heard the gospel already, you're going to believe a lie and be damned. And you're going to be a partaker of that tribulation period. It'll be a time like the world's never known. But if you're saved, you're going to be taken out. You're going to go to meet the Lord in the air, and the dead in Christ will rise. We'll meet them. They'll be changed. We'll have a body like in His body. For 7 years, we'll be with Him. What the judgment seat of Christ, where we rejoice in what He's done in our lives, and we give a glory and honor to Him. There'll be a marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll crown Him with many crowns and crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then He'll rise from the supper table, and He'll say, let's mount up. And He'll get on that great white horse, and He'll lead us, and we'll follow behind Him. And we'll watch as He has that sharp two-edged sword coming out of His mouth, and the Antichrist will be here on earth, and there's been a time of war and murder. And dominance, and he'll stand in Jerusalem and he'll look to the east and to the west, the north and the south, and he'll say, I've conquered all. God's forgotten the earth, and I rule and reign. This is all mine now. And just as he tells his servants to bow and worship him, as he's looking out across his vast domain and all those that he's defeated and in the dead bodies, he'll forgotten to have looked in one direction, and that's he'll forgotten to have looked up. Because out of the sky will come our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll be with him in that mighty host, and we'll just be watching. And he'll put down the Antichrist, and he'll kill and slay that crowd that's with him. And he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. I'm going to give you one last promise of God. Romans 10:13, the most important promise of all. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He promises to save sinners. As bad as that tribulation period might be, the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hell's worse than tribulation. Hell is a place of eternal torment, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's forever and forever and forever and forever. God will give you a body that cannot be destroyed, cannot be burned up, and forever you'll be tormented in the fires of hell. But you don't have to go there. Because there's a promise in the Bible that says, for whosoever, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Promise. Promise of God. God will save you tonight. If you're not saved, He'll save you. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to have what's our invitation time. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want you to consider tonight your eternity. Where are you headed? Have you accepted the promise of God's salvation? Or are you living outside of that promise? Have you been saved? If you've never been saved, you need to come tonight and get born again. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand with me?